Steve Perry. I'm the chair of CAUSE, which is the campaign against urban sprawl to the east of Chippenham. My professional background is I'm ISO 27001 information security consultant and lead auditor, and that's what I do for a living. I work for clients. I've got my own business, which works for clients in that field, and that's it really. I'm interested in making sure that Chippenham is, along with a lot of other people, isn't overdeveloped and is developed in a meaningful way for the people of Chippenham rather than developers. I'm interested also in the ecosystem and making sure that we're not killing the planet as we currently are. So that's me, basically.
Okay, well, look, when it comes to planning, sometimes people sort of, their eyes close and they start to snooze off. Yeah. So what is it that's, because although you see, the thing is, this is actually really important. What is the main tension, do you think, then, between responsible town planning, the sort of stuff that, you know, in the 1950s and 60s was big, the idea that, you know, you can plan a really beautiful city, some of the places, for example, on the continent, and the actual want, wishes and the needs of the speculators and the developers. What's the main tension there, as you see it?
Greed and lack of joined up thinking by government and councils.
Well, can you just explain a bit more? I mean, say, for example, if you're looking at the way that Chippenham would develop if it was being done in a responsible democratic manner with some great architects and great town planners, it would go in a certain direction. If it's left to the developers and the speculators, what would be the difference as we go in through the next 10 years or so?
Well, over the last 30 years, Chippenham has almost doubled in size. We moved here 31 years ago, and it was a beautiful small market town with a vibrant high street, lots of big name stores in the high street. Since we moved in, as I said, they've sold off lots of land, most of it, I think, council-owned land, which has been sold off to developers who've developed all their little boxes, as they usually do, very expensive little boxes, which are primarily targeted at new residents, i.e. people that want to live in a nice country environment but commute long distance to work.
Oh, okay, hang on, because you're calling them boxes. These are homes.
Yeah, but they're boxes. I mean, they're not, they're, you know, I'm sure the people that designed them, if you can call it design, wouldn't want to live in them. 30 years ago, I was looking at detached houses that were so detached that I couldn't actually get between the exterior gable walls of the two houses, like, you know, two houses with each other. Three bedroom houses, which were only 2.5 bedrooms, where that you had a nice master bedroom with an ensuite, but two smaller bedrooms, one of which was impossible to use as a bedroom because the master suite was the bathroom suite in the master was taken out of that room. They just don't, you know, they just don't, all they're interested in is piling up cash. And from a design point of view, you know, there is a lot that could be done with design. Local materials, for example, you don't see much of that going on in any towns, mostly around the country. What else?
Well, look, hang on, because you're talking there surely about the amazing stone there is around Bath and Chippenham. And, you know, it's legendary, actually, around the world that Bath and Chippenham both are built with some of the best stone in the world from the quarries. I think, isn't it Box Quarry?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of quarries at Box, Corsham, all around there. Most of them are not actually active anymore, but the, you know, Bath is built with beautiful stone, and some of Chippenham is built with some nice stone, but the majority of Chippenham is either concrete or bricks. And it's not kept the character of the town. But that's not really the point. The point, that I'm making, and that I am making politically, is that, you know, Wiltshire Council want to dump an additional 5,000. Well, they've actually retracted it now, but they were trying to dump an extra 5,000 houses above and beyond what the government wanted through their algorithm to put in Wiltshire. And they were dumping more than 25% of the whole of Wiltshire's requirement for the government required housing in Chippenham. And the reason for that is because Swindon is no longer technically in Wiltshire. It's its own unitary authority, and Wiltshire Council don't get income from Swindon. So they want somewhere that's going to make that up for them. And 10 years ago or so, they announced, without any consultation with the electorate in Chippenham, that Chippenham was going to be I can't remember what they call it now. It's like a primary town. They've got three of them. Where when the government says we want 60,000 houses, the three primary towns get 20,000 houses each, or roughly, and then a few houses are dotted around the countryside to make up the numbers. Principal settlement is the expression that they use for that. They didn't ask if anybody that lived in Chippenham, if they wanted to be a principal settlement. We're technically now not a market town, although they still claim we are. Because we're a principal settlement. The other two are Salisbury and Trowbridge. You know, they just want to build, and they just seem to be in cohorts with the developers. I don't know if you're aware, but developers have got unbuilt planning permissions for 1.2 million homes in this country, and yet they've managed to convince the government that planning rules and laws are preventing them from building the houses that are required.
Well, hang on. So they've got all these unbuilt planning permissions, but they want more planning. Now, that sounds to me as if the developers are really taking the mickey, but more importantly, that they think that they can make more profit if the planning rules are relaxed. So they can get new permissions, which will be a higher profit margin. So they don't even have to bother building the houses they've already got planning permission for. They can then start with a whole new higher profit margin, more relaxed planning tranche.
Well, the reason they're not building the 1.2 million that they've got planning permission for already is because they land bank. One of the developers local to me used to run, or the three directors of the developer used to run a company called Land Bank PLC. You know, its name kind of says it all.
Well,
really.
What is land banking?
Land banking is when developers get permission for land, for building on land, for an estate, for example. They dig a trench, which means they've started development, which means that the planning that's been granted can't lapse. Because they've started the development, and then they don't do anything on it for however many years they want to not do anything on it, because all the time they're not building, the land is increasing in value. And they, you know, and by not building, they're actually keeping up the price of the secondhand market and the new house market as well. Because they're not flooding the market with the homes that, people apparently need. That's notwithstanding the fact that not only have we got those 1.2 million houses or dwellings, I should say, that there are existing planning permissions for, there's also over a million empty homes in this country, which nobody seems to think too much about either. So, you know, when we talk about a housing shortage in this country, there are people that haven't got houses, and there are people that really do need houses, but they're not the ones being catered for. The people that are being catered for with new houses are commuters, long distance commuters, people who want to live 100 miles away from London and get there in an hour, get high salaries, build nice expensive houses for them that they can afford to buy, that local kids and local young people can't afford to buy, because the salaries don't match those that they can get in the long distance.
Well, yeah, they're called affordable. Often that means they're not affordable, and also that they've got tiny little rooms in them. But look, Steve, let me just talk to you a minute about your own involvement. You know, someone that's been working in IT and this sort of thing, what was it that made you think, I'm going to make the leap now, I'm going to stick my neck out and get into campaigning on this issue?
Well, I joined the local housing association, residents association, sorry, when we first moved here 30 odd years ago. And that kind of morphed with other housing, residents, groups around the town into something that was trying to put pressure on Wiltshire Council to actually build what people in the county and the towns wanted rather than what developers wanted. We wanted, people driven, development rather than developer driven development. One of the problems that we've got is that most developers are very big. International usually, and they're not interested in putting up five homes here and five homes there. Councils don't give building work to local builders. If they did, we wouldn't have a problem. Wiltshire Council's policy for in this current planning period, their core strategy policy for house building is that for any development over, I think it's 12 or 14 dwellings, 40% of the development should be affordable or low-cost housing. Since they've had that policy in place, and for the 30 years that I've lived in Chipham, they've never come up with the 40% tranche of affordable or low-cost homes. And of course, if they did, the people would have the right to buy them, and therefore they go out of the affordable, low-cost home sector into the less affordable because people profit from them. But that's not the big issue. The big issue is that we, you know, Chippenham needs, the town of Chippenham needs probably maybe 1,000 homes maximum a year to be built to cater for the actual needs of the people of Chippenham. And we don't get that. We get 10,000 or 20,000 that they want to build around just because the developers want to build that number of houses. And at the moment, they're selling off, or they're trying to sell off, county-owned farms, which we need for food production, obviously, because we're hopefully relying less on imports from the continent and other places. They want to build on them. They're not looking at brownfield sites like the government requires them to as a default first position. There's plenty of brownfield sites in Wiltshire, not just in Chippenham, but they overlook them. They tend to look on brownfield sites as, what do they call them, windfall, i.e. additional to the requirements of the government rather than part of the.
I mean, you would have thought, surely you'd have thought that these, well, you call brownfield sites, these are things like ex-industrial sites. We've seen a massive de-industrialization in this country. There's loads of these sites now, used to be factories and things like that. I mean, it's certainly happening quite a lot in Bristol that they get flattened, left for a few years, and then you get a housing development on there. So you're saying that's not happening in Chippenham?
It's not happening in Chippenham. No, the developers don't want to build on brownfield sites because it's more expensive for them.
Ah, it's more, the land is more expensive to buy than a farmer's field.
No, I wouldn't say the land was more expensive to buy, but depending on what the use of that land was prior to their buying it, they have clearance to do and maybe sanitisation of the land. You know, if it's got chemical contaminants or just industrial contaminants, it's much more expensive for them to dig it up, clean it and then build on it than it is to go to a nice virgin green field.
Okay, so you've also in Chippenham over the last couple of decades actually, they shut the high street down and you've got a ring road now. I mean, surely, you know, there needs to be some development around. This is what normally happens, is you get a new ring road built and all around there's a whole load of new houses. So is that what's being planned? What's being planned now?
Well, they're planning a new ring road, or rather the council inadvertently sometimes call it a ring road, and they're selling it to the electorate as being a relief road to relieve the congestion that happens in Chippenham at the moment. But in reality, what they're planning is a distributor road from the north of the town round the east, to meet up with the A350 at Lackham roundabout, which is near Laycock. And then they will fill it all in with houses. I mean, they're looking at over a 30-year period. They're looking at something like 20,000 to 40,000 houses going in there. It's a ridiculous plan. They've got a bunch of money, £75 million from the Housing Infrastructure Fund that they bid for in, I think it was 2018, and it was granted at the end of 2019. And that apparently allows them to build the infrastructure that developers are loath to build, which encourages developers to then build the houses. And hopefully the council, they think, would be able to recover the infrastructure money from the developers to be spent in other places in Wiltshire.
Well, that's 40,000 is a lot of houses. How does that compare to the existing population?
Well, we're talking about over a 30-odd-year period, but in the next planning period, they're talking about building effectively a town the size of Calne on the side of Chippenham. That's what they're planning.
What is it in proportion? Because it's difficult to get your head around this, in proportion to the number of people that are living in Chippenham now. How much more will the population increase?
Well, at the moment, they're talking about 7,500 houses, which is probably about 15,000 to 20,000 people, and probably the same number of cars. In proportionately, it's about half again. It's about 50, you know, size wise, it's about 50%.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds rather like what's been going on up at Filton here. I mean, I was personal friends with a guy who was ran a house building business. And in his opinion, the houses that were being built up at Filton Airport were the worst he'd ever seen in terms of, the actual quality of the build. The fact that you walk straight out of your front door, straight onto a tarmac road. There's really no gardens. The back gardens were you straight up against the other houses. And actually, the quality of the build was pretty awful. One of the, I think we've seen quite a lot of this in these so-called affordable housing going up over the last few years. But the main problem, as I see it, is one you touched on there, which is infrastructure. I don't see in these new estates any real attention to things like parks, things like maybe civic facilities like libraries, churches, anything like that, even many of them without even any shops. So they just seem to want to put houses in and no infrastructure at all. Not even the main roads. The main roads would be built by somebody else.
Yeah, that's right. Wiltshire Council would argue at the moment that their plan does allow for green spaces, although how building over green spaces it allows green spaces, God only knows. But that's their position. In the past, we've had two big building estates called Keepin or Seppin Park, north and south. Built to the north of Chippenham, of the centre of Chippenham, almost along the A350. Those people bought their houses from builders who was, they sent them lovely brochures which showed community centres and things like that that never got built. Nobody told the people that buys these houses that when the builder allocates green space and passes section 106 money to the council and in reserve for building the schools and whatever the infrastructure is that they've been promised, that the buyers have been promised, nobody told them that it's actually the residents themselves of those places that have to pressure the council to produce that infrastructure. The council used Section 106 money as free, effectively as cheap loans. They have done for years. And after 5 years, if the money hasn't been spent on what it was supposed to be spent on, i.e. building a school or building a civic centre or, whatever, then it has to be repaid to the developers.
Be clear about this Section 106 money. When a planning permission is granted for a large estate, maybe with, hundreds of houses, possibly even 1,000 houses, then the developer is supposed to then say, well, yes, thank you very much, local authority, for granting us permission, and we will give the council the money to build some infrastructure. And you're saying, so that's what the 106 agreement is, that is, yeah, a quid pro quo. Some would even say a bribe, actually.
Yes.
but anyway, so that money, sometimes you're saying it's not even spent, it just goes into the council coffers and disappears?
Yeah, it doesn't disappear. It goes into the council coffers and it gets used for other things, whatever the council spend their money on. Sometimes quite frivolous things. But, you know, the bottom line is that after 5 years, if the facilities that Section 106 money was given to the council to help provide, and it's not to totally provide, but to help provide the promised facilities, then the money has to be returned to the developer, and the developer is then able to build on the land that was allocated. For example, if you had a meeting hall, public meeting hall space allocated, and it didn't happen, the developer, as happened on Seapin Park, the developer then built some houses on the land.
Does the council suffer because of that? Because they're not really looking after the local people. There's supposed to be a community centre there. They couldn't be bothered to build it. And it sounds to me like the developers then got a double bonanza.
Yeah, they do. That's exactly it. And the council doesn't suffer, and the council is never held accountable for any of these things. And that's part of the problem. You know, we've got an election period going on at the moment. Ed Rimmer, who's the Conservative candidate, a Conservative candidate in the Salisbury area, he said about housing requirements in his leaflet that he's a Conservative, by the way. He said, we have listened to local people, taken feedback on board, and have committed to building 5,000 fewer homes across Wiltshire than has been anticipated by many observers. My comment to that is, presumably that is Wiltshire Tory policy now, but it was Wiltshire Council's own emerging local plan that declared that their building plans included 5,000 additional homes now being dropped. Those numbers were not a figment of the imagination of observers, as he seems to be inferring. But the bottom line is, you know, they don't listen. They've just started listening. We've got a petition against the new road that's proposed with 6,000 signatures on it. That's three times as many people who've responded so far, well, who responded to the public consultation for the new road and for the local plan as it stands at the moment. So we're kind of outnumbering the council three to one at the moment, just in terms of response. And all of the response, both from our point of view, from our petition, and from the council's own consultation, the majority of the response from their consultation is anti the massive development that they're planning and the road, because it isn't necessary. You know, I've spent my life working in people's offices and flying about the world doing what I do. And now I've spent the last 1.5 years working from home, doing what I do perfectly successfully, using electronic methods to do the job that I do without having to fly, saving the clients money, not traveling, saving the environment, hopefully, you know, and long may that continue. They're not planning for it to continue. They're planning for it. They're still planning their roads as if they're in the 19th century planning the 20th century, instead of in the 20th century planning, you know, the new world for the 21st century, which is what we should all be concerned with.
What's your group? Just tell us a bit more about that.
Cause. It's a group which comprises of a number of residence groups from across Chippenham, not just local to the road, to the proposed road. And they're all people who are concerned about the Wiltshire Council's objective, which seems to be to turn Chippenham into a new Swindon. And, you know, when it wouldn't be a market town anymore, it's not already, but it, you know, it would be even less of a market town. It will just be a concrete conurbation, for long distance commuters, adding to pollution, not subtracting from it. They're not even, although I think they have the legal power, they're not even insisting that, new houses that are built are, zero carbon. you know, and there's no reason why they, you know, it's more expensive for the developers to build zero carbon houses. So what? You know, they make 20% profit. You know, they're guaranteed 20% profit by the planning laws. Big developers and small developers are, you know, a small builder will build a house. He'll want to make a profit because he's a businessman. He'll pay his salary, his own salary. He'll pay his staff's wages, and he'll make a bit on top to help towards the next project that he's working on. The big developers aren't like that. They just produce money, big time. You know, if they can't make 20% profit, they can go back to the council and say, we know you allowed this proposal. You allowed this plan. You gave us permission for this plan to build 5,000 houses, 40% of which were going to be affordable, but we can't actually make our 20% profit now, because costs have gone up, blah, blah, blah. And the council just say, okay, well, don't build the affordables then. So they can carry on making their 20% profit, you know, but it's just planning and building and development in this country is a joke. I mean, like I said in the beginning, the fact that we've got 1.2 million dwellings we've got planning permission existing for 1.2 million dwellings that haven't been built. And we've got over a million empty buildings, empty houses as well in this country. That kind of says it all about the planning situation.
Well, okay, yeah, but Steve, we've got an election coming up. I would have hoped, and it'd be interesting to hear from you, that maybe some of the people standing, some of the candidates, since planning is probably one of the most important roles that these elected representatives fulfil during the next 4 years, could you give us an idea of whether you think they've been listening during the election campaign?
I think they were listening before the election campaign, and I think that at the moment the Conservatives are running scared, which is why, as I mentioned earlier, Ed Rimmer from the Salisbury area, who's a prospective candidate for the Tory party, said that the party line is that they've listened to local people, taken feedback on board, and have committed to building 5,000 fewer homes. What they're not doing is pushing back against the government's allocation of housing numbers. I think the government's housing requirement for Wiltshire at the moment is something like 48,000 homes in the current and next planning period, and there are not 48,000 families in Wiltshire that don't have somewhere to live. You know, they're catering for people that don't want to live in cities anymore because it's too expensive. They're rich. They can afford to commute, you know, whatever the cost of commuting 100 miles to London by rail every day is, or by car, or Bristol or Cardiff or wherever. And they're just playing the developer line. And in fact, Wiltshire Council is attempting to become a developer themselves. They've just registered four companies, all called Stone Circle something, which are, one of them is dedicated to liquidating council owned assets, i.e. public owned assets, to enable the building of houses, and the revenue from the profit from those houses, if they are a developer in their own right, they're planning to use to support social services for adults in the county, because they haven't got the budget themselves to do it properly. A lot of the candidates, particularly the independent candidates, the Green Party candidates, the Lib Dem candidates, and a lot of the Conservative candidates, have come out against the plans as they stand at the moment. But they're not, there's nothing written in stone. I mean, you've got to be able to trust a politician. There are a few that you can trust. The portfolio holder for climate change in Wiltshire, Ashley O'Neill, He's the Conservative, obviously, because he's a portfolio holder. He actually spoke out very passionately and eloquently against the road and the development, because he's a young man with a family and he wants the future to be a bit more rosy for his children than he thinks it is at the moment. He spent a lot of time during lockdown walking in the parts of the countryside that the council want to build on. And he's come to realize that people that have been espousing the need for having that land available for people to be able to walk on, walk their dogs, play on, grow crops on, farm, is really important. And he didn't realize how beautiful the landscape was or how important it was and how many species rely on it until he actually went out walking during lockdown. And he came back and effectively rebelled against his own cabinet by voting against it in the votes that they've had for the local plan, for the emerging local plan.
Okay, yeah, but this is only what, this is one councillor, Steve. What do you think the chances are of stopping the road? Because it sounds to me as if the road is absolutely key. If this road happens, then all of these developers will be jumping on all the land around it, building these little Lego boxes selling them off. I suppose in a way you're also cursed by the fact that you've got such a good rail connection to London.
Yeah, well, we've got two curses, in fact, Chippenham. One of them is the mainline railway to London, and the other one is Junction 17 of the M4. Wiltshire Council 2 years ago declared a climate emergency and an ambition to make the county, not just Wiltshire Council, but the county carbon neutral by 2030. They're now saying that's impossible. It was just a goal. And it isn't impossible, but they're saying it is. They're telling us that we need to stop driving so much. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to get on our bikes instead of cars. We need to walk. I do walk a lot. But the bottom line is that, their growth of Chippenham is based on the fact, centered on the fact that we have Junction 17 of the M4 nearby and a mainline railway station. And that does not, by selling Chippenham as having those two things, they're encouraging out commuting. They're not encouraging, ecologically sound living, which is what they're supposed to be doing. A lot of the councillors do agree with us. And I think in terms of whether we can be successful or not, we've already beaten them twice at two examinations in public. And we've got every intention of beating them again at the third one, which is the current emerging local plan when that goes to examination. But the fact that they're reducing, the fact that they've decided to plump more than 20% of the government's stated housing requirement for Wiltshire in Chippenham, and they increased that number by 5,000. By over 5,000 willingly, just because they saw more revenue, and they're not really interested. They're interested in what you could call roof tax rather than whether it's the right thing.
Well, that's
to do
an interesting way of putting it, isn't it? Because this is one of the things I think people are quite concerned about, the way the planning system's going. You know, it was designed originally so that if something was in keeping with good town planning, something which is going to look good for the future, planning in fact in some ways is completely the opposite from what developers want. They just want to be able to grab a piece of cheap land and build a load of houses on it. They don't actually want, they're not interested in the idea of planning for the future at all. So I just wonder what you make of the actual system, and because you've been engaging with it for a while now, are there points at the plan in the planning system where you think ordinary people like you, campaigning groups, can actually make a difference against the developers?
Yes, but only in big numbers. I mean, the bottom line is you have to play them at their own game. And the bottom line is that, for example, in the current planning period, which was public examination with a planning inspector, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago now, it finished. In the first round, which was for the Wiltshire Core Strategy, which was the council's plan for the whole of Wiltshire, we brought evidence to the inquiry, to the examination, that was satisfying enough for the examiner at the time, the inspector at the time, to tell Wiltshire Council that they had to take the Chippenham area out of the local core plan, to enable their plan to be passed. And then we had a second round where they put together the Chippenham, I think it was called the Chippenham Site Allocation Plan, CSAP, where they were putting a separate plan together for Chippenham. And both of those plans, the core strategy where Chippenham had to be removed to get it passed, and the Chippenham Site Allocations Plan, included this road that's being proposed now, which was actually thrown out on both occasions by the inspector. And the reason it was thrown out was because it depended on too many things, one of which was a bridge over the mainline railway. Which is a very difficult thing to do. And the developers in the council thought they could build a bridge for about £2 million, when in fact it would probably cost more like £5 million, and they'd have to lodge tens of millions of pounds in escrow to Network Rail in case their 1 24-hour period that they're allowed to build a bridge in interrupted, you know, didn't happen, and they interrupted the mainline railway to London. The amount of money that they have to put into escrow for that is colossal. They hadn't taken any of that into account. But the bottom line is the local housing needs of Chippenham do not warrant the number of houses that Wiltshire Council want to dump on Chippenham. And the road that they want to build is only being proposed so that they can sell off county-owned land to developers to make money, for developers to build houses on, for long-distance commuters. And the two Achilles heels that we have, as I said, are the Junction 17 on the M4 and the mainline railway station, because that enables the developers to sell those houses to long-distance commuters.
Okay, well, what about these county farms you're talking about? I mean, that sounds quite interesting. Is that part of the land that they want to sell off to the developers too?
Most of it is council farmland, yes. I think there's two or three council farms that they're proposing to sell, one of which is immediately behind my house, funnily enough. I'm not a NIMBY. It isn't why I feel as passionate as I do about planning in general and about what Wiltshire are doing in general, because they're just numpties. They just don't know what they're doing.
What are these farming tenants, what have they got to say about this? Because that means that their livelihood is completely destroyed. If their farm is being taken off them by the council, do council have any responsibility to
First of all, they're misusing the farms in the first place, because council owned farms were created in about 1907, I think the law went through, for councils to do this, and county farms were designed basically for new farmers, young farmers who were perhaps leaving agricultural college to start a business. And they would be given low rental a farm, a county owned farm, to build their business up on, which they would then expect to be moved to a purchased farm to allow another young farmer to come in. The farmer that's in Harden's Farm, which is the one I know most about, has been there for about 40 years. From when he started farming, he wants to retire. He doesn't care that the council are wanting to build on the farm, because he wants to stop farming anyway. He wants to stop. And they're what would you call it? They're predetermining the outcome of the public inquiry into the local plan, the emerging local plan, and their plan for Chippenham, by having already given the farms notice. That says they're predetermining the outcome of the inquiry, and that's actually not legal for them to do.
No, right. But it sounds to me as if they've got a cooperative farmer on that one.
He just wants to retire, but because they've given him notice, there are no animals on that farm anymore. It's effectively the farmer's living there. He's got a horse and a few tractors, but there's no livestock in the fields. And that's because the council have predetermined the outcome of the inquiry, and they've given him notice to quit when they shouldn't have done
that. It certainly sounds as if it's prejudicial to the inquiry. I also, I spoke a few years ago to a guy called Simon Killane up in Malmesbury, which isn't that mega far from you. He was talking about similar stuff to do with planning up there. He was a Lib Dem councillor, and he was absolutely shocked that there was a really bad reaction by the developers. They had something called Planning for Real. They ran a whole month or so of consultations with the residents of Malmesbury, and then they came up with a terrific plan of whereabouts the houses should go if they're going to have houses there. And also to maintain a bit of open space too, and also to look at where the for example the people in these new houses would be able to walk and cycle into the centre of Malmesbury rather than just drive, things like this. But he had a hell of a time with graffiti about him sprayed up around the town, basically a smear campaign, and then eventually he decided that because of threats to his own family that he would stand down as a councillor. So I wonder if you know there's been the similar kind of any sort of similar viciousness from the developers, people trying to stop these plans for these 5,000 homes.
Well, it's not just 5,000, it's 7,500 on this particular tranche of the development. The 5,000 is the additional homes that Wiltshire volunteered to build over and above the government's requirements. But the bottom line is, there is some nastiness, not directly from developers as such, but, you can put signs up and they get taken down. The council, one of the developers owns a farm next to Harden's farm called New Lee's Farm. He owns the freehold on that farm. And the council have got a group called Future Chippenham, which is the group that's supposed to be promoting this new road, this new distributor road for the developments. And they put massive signs up actually on that private land, advertising this is where option A will come, this is where option B will come, this is where option C will come, and we put signs up along the cycle path that goes past that farm, and the people that are tenants on that farm who used to own it go up and down tearing them down and making nasty comments to the old ladies that we've had out along the cycle path distributing leaflets, advertising our petition, for example. It's all very, it shouldn't be nasty, but it does tend to be.
Why I think it does get nasty is when the actual proper democratic system starts breaking down and being undermined. Start getting almost like a sort of gang mentality, where the people who think they're about to get the money start acting in a very hostile manner to those who are trying to, preserve the town. Anyway, look, if people want to follow what's going on in Chippenham, what's the best way for them to do that, Steve?
They can go to our website, which is causewiltshire.com, and from there, there's a link that goes to our 38 Degrees petition site as well, where they can comment and sign the petition. I'd just like to say, you were asking about people getting nasty. When the Wiltshire Council applied back in early 2018 for the Housing Infrastructure Fund money of £75 million, which they were granted in 2019, they approached loads of supposedly interested parties, which consisted mostly of developers and the Chippenham Town Council and the Chippenham MP for letters of support. And the leader of Chippenham Town Council, who currently is a lady called Sandy Webb, although she's not standing for re-election, so she won't be the leader for much longer. And the CEO of Chippenham Town Council, who's a guy called Mark Smith, signed a letter of support for the HIFBID on behalf of Chippenham Town Council. And Chippenham, the other members of Chippenham Town Council didn't know anything about the HIF or the plan for another 8 months after that letter was sent in support. That's that letter and the letter from the MP, Michelle Donnellan, were basically taken by the, I think it's called Homes England, the quango responsible for dishing out this money. Those letters were taken as evidence of public support for the council's plans. But the public didn't know anything about the plans. And the council, Chippenham Town Council, didn't know anything about the plans. The CEO and the leader knew about the plans because they were told about them by Wiltshire Council. And apparently Wiltshire Council swore them to secrecy, and they weren't to tell anybody about it. But even so, they wrote a letter on behalf of the town council in support. And we've asked at cabinet directly of the leader of Wiltshire Council whether Chippenham Town Council were sworn to secrecy back in 2018, and they deny that they were sworn to secrecy. But, you know, who knows who's telling the truth? I mean, the bottom line is they wrote a letter on behalf of a council that didn't know anything about what was being proposed, accepting it and saying they supported it.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? That does sound to me like an abuse of power. You know, one even might say corruption. The idea that you've got someone who's a chairman of a group of elected people that decides for themselves what the not only those individuals as part of that elected group, but also the residents of the town think about something. Well, I mean, you know, that's just simply not acceptable. Shameless, I would say.
Yeah, we do. And a lot of people, I and many other people at public meetings on Zoom, obviously, or Teams, because we're not allowed, you know, the councils aren't allowed to hold public meetings at the moment in person. We've actually asked directly the leader of Chippenham Town Council on whose authority she wrote that letter. And what I got when I actually didn't ask the question personally, an officer read my question out because I was busy giving a presentation to another group at the same time. When my question was read out, the leader attacked me and told me that my question was misogynistic because she was a 68-year-old lady. I was a man, and I was attacking her, and I'd been attacking her for ages.
You're doing your job and she's not doing hers. I mean, we get the similar thing here in Bristol, actually, with our mixed race mayor, Marvin Rees, from the Labour Party. He's a Blairite Labour mayor. Yeah. Yeah. And if he gets criticism for almost anything he does, he is rather too quick to jump on this thing. Oh, well, you must be a racist.
Yes.
This, I'm afraid, is a little bit like the Labour anti-Semitism scandal, that, you know, these sorts of allegations of people being misogynistic, racist, sexist or whatever should not be made lightly. And, you know, the idea that someone can just make that as a kind of frivolous accusation shows to me that they're not really fit for public office, Steve. Anyway, good luck. Do you think after the elections you'll have a better setup? Do you think the elections will really make any difference?
I hope so. It's difficult to tell because, you know, Wiltshire is primarily Conservative. Although they change their minds as to what their policies are going to be to fit in with what they think the local people of Wiltshire want, once they get in power, they tend to ignore it and just do what they've been planning to do for 40 years anyway. But they're not, you know, the bottom line is we want people to be thinking more about the future than they are, rather than about the present and developers' pockets. And that seems to be, you know, the main interest at the moment. And the council becoming a developer in its own right, it's just ridiculous. I mean, we actually need, if we're going to produce a world or to create a world that is good for my grandchildren to live in and your grandchildren to live in, then, you know, we need to think about more about the long-term actions of what we're doing now rather than just the short-term
games. No, you're absolutely right. You know, you're absolutely right. And there was this whole movement around town planning, you know, in the 20s, 30s. It was massive. Now it all seems to have been thrown in the dustbin. But look, you know, the idea of a council being a developer is not new. They have been building council houses for, you know, 100 years or so.
Mm. Well, they should still carry on doing them. I mean, they, you know, and they should use local builders, not international developers to build them. I mean, you know, their excuse at the moment is that the only way they can get their affordable homes is to allow other homes to be built and get those affordable homes as part and parcel of that development, which is just rubbish. I mean, what they should be doing is they should be having a budget for building their council homes, however many they need. And they should be putting that work to local builders to build those houses. They'd be built properly. The builders have small builders tend to have more pride in what they're doing. And you know, they build them properly. They'd be affordable, and they could carry on in that vein. But
and we wouldn't have to have mirrors in all the rooms to make the rooms look bigger. Anyway, look, Steve, I wish you all the very best of luck. Just remind us finally of your website again, please.
Yes, it's causewiltshire.com.
Steve Perry, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.